見えない
is another live radio link up brought to you by the Government Communications GCIS. GCIS. GCIS.
Back on your radio again, and it's Wednesday, the 9th of November, 2022. Welcome once again, and good evening to you and everybody who's listening with you. It is about the Department of Social Development, where we speak various aspects of social support that government has in terms of interventions, programs, as well as various campaigns that are existing. Talking about campaigns that are existing, tonight we are discussing the 16 days of activism against gender-based violence and femicide, not forgetting violence against children. And tonight I am honored to be joined by Ospulane Mthembu, who is also who's also the center manager at the GBVCC, Gender-Based Violence Command Center. She's the center manager. And Mthembu Fushane, he's the director with the National Department of Social Development. And also, Osbusi was here with us. She's with us today as well. She's a social work practitioner with the National Department of Social Development. Thank you so very much. And if you would like to join us, you're welcome to do that via Rinaema Ungani, who will be on your telephones, 0800-142-446. And please get it right. It's Rinae Nemaungani. All right? Everybody in South Africa should be able to say that, just like I do. And WhatsApp number is 065-935-5488. 065-935-5488. KG Ranoto is the one who's making sure that you hear me quite very well, along with our guests tonight. And thank you so very much for joining us. And we are looking forward to a robust discussion along with you. Now, just as an abstract, the 16 days of activism is something that you have heard about over the years that you have heard about the campaign against violence against women and children. And it normally happens between the 25th of November until the 10th of December. So various campaigns, various programs, various interventions are done to alleviate this culture of violence that exists in South Africa. And it is seemingly viewed as many like it's a normal thing. More campaigns come through. It looks like we're looking at it to improvise or something that way. And let's talk about it. Let's talk about the violence in your community. The male-to-male violence, the male-to-female violence, the causes that make these things. It's not only about booze. It's about a whole lot of social issues that these social issues, they don't happen to happen all by themselves. They happen because people live amongst themselves. They live with each other. They live for each other and by each other. And no matter how you look at it, at some point, our differences end up, you know, giving us all those challenges, you know, or challenges like, you know, labor policies, you know, things like unemployment, things like inequality in terms of who's working, who's not working in the house, even overcrowding, you know. The other one comes from Mpumalanga, the other one comes from Komafikeng. So we seem to develop this attitude of, why should I care? And that's today that what we're going to be talking about. 16 days of activism, focusing on the command center mainly so. And looking into what it has been doing. Ospulani, maybe just take us a little bit into that. Give us some abstract in terms of how far has the command center came up to this far to make sure that 16 days of activism. I remember one of the main themes I used to like is don't close your eyes, don't close your mouth, and don't close your ears. It's one of those around 2016 or so.
Slogans, yeah.
Yes. Mm. So this year, you'll tell us about what's this year and all those things. Where, how far have we moved from that point to here?
Good evening, and to you and your listeners. Yes, it's true. I think from the abstract that you have put forward, it rests on us, on our daily individual collective action to really safeguard our society. And like you were saying, where does it, why do we do this to one another?
How do we, does it come to this point?
It's power and control. It's others wanting to control others. Others have wanting to have power on others, you know. And like you rightly so say, it could also be economic issues because the other one feels this one is more powerful than me, then I have to put this one down because physically I can do that.
Yes.
But then it's not necessarily even physically, you know, it can also be other ways that can make the person feel less, to feel inferior and to feel disempowered. So the command center started in 2013.
Yes.
And when the command center was established, it was also like you were saying, it was birthed by these 16 days of activism activities that were happening all over. And like we know, 16 days of activism is an international, is a worldwide activism.
Yes, it's not just a South African.
No, and as South Africa, we are a signatory to the United Nations conventions on issues that relate to gender-based violence and femicide. And so when we sign those treaties and those agreements in those bodies, we are binding ourselves as a country to say we will do something about it. So it was seen it correct and the right thing to do to have a platform where people can get a service without going to a taxi, to a bus, or somewhere into where they can get a service, maybe an office somewhere.
Yes.
So then the command center was established then. It was a very small command center then, but it is now very big. And it is taking its time now. It's transitioning as well. That's how it has grown. Because we realize that we don't necessarily have to provide a service where a person has to see the person, you know, face to face. They can get proper psychosocial counseling from a professional social worker through the telephone, using an SMS, using USSD, sending an email, going to the website. So those are the things that are also empowering, because sometimes victims of crime, you have to understand they are in a situation where they are trapped. They are not able to get out. And because the command center is able to geolocate people where they are, it was it's one of the services that was that enabled people. Let's say a person has closed themselves in a cabinet somewhere, they can be able not to necessarily talk, send an SMS, and they'll be geolocated, and we can locate the police station. It zooms to the closest police station that that person is at.
Even Likale Papata.
And be able to locate that person to say muto umu and unida service mo, and we call the police, and then bautrafela kalponesa, and the act on domestic violence it enables the police to break down the doors. That's what people don't know. And they can break down that door and be able to reach out to that.
So basically what I was asking Ospulani when I said even Kalipopotan, I was saying any kind of cell phone.
Yeah, because USSD wa khona ishapa Kalipopotan.
Exactly.
Yes. And so it was making things easy for our communities. But I do understand that sometimes people will be saying, what about Bonko? No, you know, but technology, you know, we still utilize our local offices that are closest to us. We still are, because some of the cases don't end up just at the command center. We have to refer them to the provinces because they are long-term cases. Just like if, let's say, a person has to be referred to a shelter, or a person has to go through children's court of inquiries, then they have to go through that process with a social worker who will go into that house and do a home visit, do a report, present it to court in front of a magistrate or a judge, and then it goes through all those systems.
All right. We are in discussion about 16 days of activism, and the theme this year is socioeconomic rights and empowerment to build women's resilience against gender-based violence and femicide. Coming to think of connect, collaborate, and contract. So the voice of Ospulani is what you have just been hearing on your radio right now, explaining how the command center has come this far to actually interject and intervene in terms of the violence that exists in South Africa against women and children. So, Osbusi, let's talk further and say the command center was just part of the discussions that were highlighted during the summit, where the interaction with the society was among one of the main. In so to encourage people to understand their limits with the command center, because sometimes they will ask, where's my 350? Only to find that they are taking away this resource that is meant for other things. So what would be your limits when people would like to use the command center as it is?
Actually, the command center is an office where our community members, when they are experiencing GBV, should reach out so that they can get a psychosocial support services. But we deal with various cases. We've got GBV cases and non-GBV cases. Those non-GBV cases, we would find clients calling in about things that are not necessarily GBV, but they also need a social worker's intervention. Mm-hmm. So we've got three types of cases. We've got GPV cases, we've got non-GPV cases, we've got request for information cases. Mm. So we've got social workers that are trained, professional social workers that are equipped with skills, and they have information that they can share with the communities.
Mm.
We do find clients, especially I'm going to go back when we had COVID-19.
Yes.
When there was a lockdown, where everyone was frustrated, confused, they didn't know what to do when they were locked in their houses. So when the command center was one of the resources where community members would call in and say, then what do we do? Then the social workers will then give information. And if we cannot render that particular service,
yes,
we then link you to the relevant office or organization that renders that service.
Mm.
So we do sometimes get clients that would say, my disability grant was cut, or the mother of my children is abusing a social grant.
Mm.
So we also attend to those clients. We don't turn them away, because immediately when they call, they talk to a social worker directly who will then assist them in linking them with the relevant service that they need.
All right.
So we don't limit our clients. They call, and if it's not our client or beyond our scope of practice, we then refer them to the relevant organization.
All right, all right. Remember, you can call us. 0800-142-446 is the number to dial. 0800-142-446, that's the number. It's toll-free from any landline. And however, if you're not so confident to speak live, you're welcome to do that voice note or that text on 065-935-5488. That's a WhatsApp number that you are capable of using. Now, Babumtem, let's talk more. You, as a director at Social Development, mainly responsible for customer services, satisfaction of service and all that kind. And still going back to that summit, you know, because it is what we are basing on now as the latest intervention that we had now. Social Development being one of those departments that are spearheading along with presidency. What were some of the issues you brought for discussion as people who are experienced, who are hands-on with the customers, who are hands-on with the clients, who are hands-on with those who are actually using the services like your command center, like your other services that Social Development are? Can you just highlight pertaining to what the summit needed to address so that, you know, these kind of services go forward in helping people better?
Yeah. Well, my apologies, colleagues. My voice might be a bit scratchy.
You're just natural. It's
all. Yeah. Well, specifically with regard to the subject matter at hand, we as customer care are technically involved with the command center.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the work that comes out of the command center forms part of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
There's other work that we do outside of the GPVCC where we receive complaints of different types.
Mm-hmm.
Which are not probably part of today's subject matter.
Yes.
But we have formed part of the task team that has been behind the design and the establishment of the command center service.
That's right.
From its inception in 2013 all the way until now.
Mm-hmm.
The design of the call center facility, the skilling of the team, the tools of trade that we need, ensuring, for example, that we've got this location-based service that allows us to track victims and causes of gender-based violence.
Yes.
But also we provide a quality assurance service to the GPV, wherein one of the steps that we are involved in is to ensure customer satisfaction. So post the call that a victim or a caller would have reported as an incident to the GPV, we have a team of quality assurers who would then listen in to the call, to that recording, and then follow up with the client to find out if they are satisfied with the service that they've received from the command center. So to ensure that indeed our callers and our victims are duly receiving the service that they deserve.
Mm.
So that is the role that we play specifically around gender-based violence as customer care. As part of the technical support that the function needs, which is why also I'm here today.
Of course.
And I'm honored to be here. Thank you very much.
And definitely those who are hearing you very well, I hope they do not take advantage of changing all this discussion into a demand. A demand for 350s, a demand for why all this. Because we have had those shows. I must say we've had those shows. We have spoken about SASSA very lengthy when it moved from CPS into a different organization and all that stuff. So today, let's help each other. Let's help our brothers and sisters. Let's help our children. Let's help the way South Africa thinks in terms of violence, because I'm going to say it once more. South Africa has been touted as one of those highest in terms of violence amongst gender and children. And that should be more concerning than your 350, really. I'm not saying you don't need it. However, I'm saying you need peace more before you get 350. So today, give us a chance to talk more about this culture that we have adopted on our own of spanking our kids, which is what I'm going to start Ospulani to say. Get out sharp. That's where the violence starts. To get to understand get out sharp comes from, I want to discipline you, but the only option I have is I'm going to spank you. Right now, we do not talk remedial actions from the basic part. And this is not something that necessarily the command center, but, you know, as a discussion, Bamfuchan and Osbusi and Ospulan, it is the source and the root of all evil, where every kid and every human being understands that for me not to do bad, I have to behave so that I don't get beaten. I don't get punished. And mostly punish comes in a form of violence. Get all sharp. Or Mang Mang is going to give you a hiding. And go to your room doesn't really work for Ama 2000. We know that very well. And we found ourselves being so stranded that we have to even take our kids to police station to intimidate them to say, you'll get arrested. But we know very well that it's unlawful. They read these things. They know these things. There is no kid who's going to be arrested at under the age of 18 at some point, especially if it's not much of that crime that South Africa looks at. But, you know, violence, of course, yeah, you're on your own on that one because police is going to get you. And what we used to call stone schools, they have the name these days. We'll find out. It's just that I'm a bit old school when it comes, and my English has run out of bundles when it comes to that. But let's talk the source of violence that we initiate ourselves, even amongst the four of us. Now I know, Akiva Notil at some point, but you know, as they grew, they can tell you it's been a long time since I ever pinched on them. And based on growing to understand. But let's talk about this source, Ospulani, to say, how do we deal with this source that makes everybody so sure that the only ultimate punishment is to give a spank?
I usually say when a parent resorts to using physical violence or maybe spanking, let's use spanking, it's normally, if you look at their faces, they themselves are scared.
Yes.
They are scared. They think they have run out of options. And in many instances, parents feel that they have no options, you know. But actually, there are many programs that the department, in partnership with the NGOs, are running out there that are related to social behavior change. And it's just that when such programs are implemented and a parent comes forward to say, it shouldn't be that we only should be dealing with the after of the, even when you have a challenge of a child who has behavioral problems, you should be in a position to access services from social development and those NGOs that are closest to you. They also provide those services.
Yes.
And what we has been the challenging part is of the families, because they have to agree to the program, they have to complete the program. But often you find that they don't commit, and then a parent would be saying, it becomes the government's issue now.
Yes.
And they renege on their responsibilities as parents. But for the parents who take this seriously and walk that walk with their children, some of these children are just crying for help. Mm. There's something going on within them. Mm. Some of the children are being bullied at school. Some of them are struggling at school. They have challenges of learning that they're experiencing. But you wouldn't know as a parent because you're thinking, this one is naughty. This one doesn't want to study.
What's the problem?
Well, plan. Yeah. I think you would even get this a kind of reaction where the schools are closed and parents will be like, yo,
exactly.
You know, parenting is a very tough job. And there's no book that will be complete about parenting.
Mm.
There are programs, parenting programs that parents, especially younger parents, we taken through them. But we realize that, remember where we are coming from. We are coming from a patriarchal system where a woman's place was in the kitchen. The woman was the one who must discipline the children.
Mm.
The father would be the one who comes with the heavy beating when he comes back from work, you know. And the relationship between the parents and the children was such that they were not sharing. And now when you are a parent yourself, you grew up that way, and you find that your child wants to engage you, you think the child is disrespectful. Kanti, this child is engaging you because you were rightfully saying, babala. They read about these things. And this child is engaging me, is really trying to get some information. And let's take one subject, for example, substance abuse. I read in one article, it was a very beautiful article, where a father who is co-parenting with the mother of this child because they separated, had a box where he had written his daughter a letter because this guy was preparing his daughter for her first menstrual period.
Yes.
And a father, for that matter. He didn't do it like in my olden days where you were sent to an older woman somewhere to tell you about that.
What's going on?
And we were scared because the people we grew up with were telling us scary things that, yeah, it means you have done wrong and something like that.
Yes.
But
the myth that comes
with it. Yes, but that father, the reaction he got from his daughter when she opened that box, he consulted with other women around him, and they told him, you must put sanitary pads of different sizes, teddy bear, goodies inside there. When she opened that box, because apparently the daughter said something to him about a child at school who was experiencing menstrual periods. And the father, when the daughter opened that box, he was crying. The guy was literally crying because he didn't expect that reaction, because the daughter was like, wow, this child knows I'm going to be talking to my father about this if this happens.
Yes.
The different types of underwears that he had bought her and all of that. Mm. But this father, you can see, he is involved in his child. Mm. How many households, like you and I are talking this moment, one is sitting somewhere waiting for the time when they are about to sleep to sneak in and go into the house. Sure. They don't know what has happened during the day with their children.
Mm.
There's only one parent who is now having to deal with everything that is happening with their children. They are tired. And also the economy. People are traveling to work. They come back tired. They're using public transport. So time with children is very, very limited. In the olden days, you remember, there used to be times when people would be sitting around the fire and they would be talking and they would be talking. And then information would sneak and people will know that I need to address this.
Yes.
And then they would get people to speak, even though they were not directly talking, but they would get somebody to speak.
Interrelations.
Yeah, so it's the family relations that are not strong, that are having those holes. And like we were talking earlier on when we were having that informal discussion, you can take a person to rehab for a rehabilitation of substances.
That's right,
yes. And the person relapses and the person and you'll hear the family saying, we want a rehab in every corner so that when they relapse, we put them in there. And you're not addressing the source.
Yes.
What is the challenge of this child?
What if you have two parents every day after work? You know, we do have sunset drinks.
Mm.
And that's a lifestyle.
Mm.
We see all these bars, and whether it's a top bar or it's a low bar or anything, we find people of various ages over 18 engaging daily in binging, what I'll call binging.
Exactly.
You know,
it's like, that is why the Eastern Cape has even put it forward to say, let's mobilize the community and say this thing of saying pants down and whatever, it has become a culture.
Yes.
Because it's booze. That is what is happening there. And booze comes with unprotected sex. Unprotected sex comes with unplanned pregnancies. Mm-hmm. Unplanned pregnancies come with backyard abortions that can result in young people dying. Or it comes with young mothers giving birth. Now, a young mother who is still a baby themselves need to be mothered, to be parented, is now a parent. What kind of values and role will they be playing? They are expected to be a school, to be pushing their studies. Mm. Now they have to be parents. And we also do have that challenge that there's a very large number of parents who are very young. People who give birth at a very young age, and they're expected to be experts in parenting, and they themselves still need to be parented because they are still asking for bread money from their parents.
That's right.
You can see that imbalance that happens there. Then how is this child going to be respecting whatever it is you are saying, go to your room? Well, I'm living in a shack. This shack has only two rooms.
You can only do it up to a certain number of times.
No, we're living in the same. We're living in a shack that has two rooms. It's a bedroom and a kitchen. Oh, yeah, here. You say go to your room. Which room?
Which room?
This child doesn't have a room. A corner. Which corner? Behind him, cooking. That child is going to go and play. He's nice, Moss. You are sending him out.
Sometimes it's even at night, so it's not even.
It's
conducive.
Not even conducive. Yes.
Yeah. That's a mouthful. And Bofuchane, you want to come in there?
Yeah, I was also thinking. You know, the way that society has now evolved, we grow up in large families.
Yes.
Magogo, Tamkulu, uncles, and we'd all be a group of cousins of the same age, right?
Most definitely,
So the lessons, because children learn by seeing what others do and how others respond, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the lessons, if one of your cousins gets reprimanded for something, you see how then all of you start understanding that, you know, that's a no-go area. And also how the love is delivered to all of you. That thing is shared, and those values are shared across many parents.
Mm.
Now we are living in a situation where we are two parents, the mother and the father, at best. Because also the family structure is evolving now.
Mm-hmm.
And these two parents, their only support is themselves.
Yes.
Because we all don't even know our own neighbors. We don't know our neighbors. You get into your house, you close the door, and that's it. So your child and whatever wisdom or little hit that you have, that's the wisdom that you're going to give to your child.
Mm.
And they don't benefit from that big structure of wisdom.
Yes.
That we had growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm noticing is that more and more, as our families become more smaller and smaller.
They're quite even very small these days.
Yes. There is less support. If something goes wrong between me and the mother and we don't get along, there's less support around us to cushion the children, help them understand what is going on.
Mm.
Right? So we're going to fight, me and my wife, and then we must still go back to the children and still make them understand.
Mm.
And in that time, maybe the two of us are not even in the mood because we are now in this emotional state.
Yeah.
And when that emotional state, you don't go back to the child, do not worry. This is not an abnormal situation. It happens.
Mm.
Whereas if there was an uncle or there was a grandmother, if the two parents don't get along, the grandmother then catches the child, brings them close, say, no, Mdanam, don't worry. What's happening with your parents is what usually happens. They still love you. So that child has got a support system that is beyond the two of us.
Mm.
So they never flow through the cracks because that system is always there. As it falls away, the child now goes up with you as parents, comes down with you as parents.
Yes.
Goes up with you as parents, comes down with you as parents.
Mm. Mm.
And it becomes even more difficult now when it's only a single parent situation. And our society is evolving very much towards single parent families.
Mm.
And so that means that single parent must now carry her own struggles and the child's struggles. So when she goes up, the child goes up. When she comes down, the child also comes down. And eventually, as that child comes into teenagehood and their personality starts to form, and teenagers, we know what happens in teenagehood. The personality is forming, the child is becoming independent.
Mm.
That lack of support that would have been given by the broader family is no longer there.
Yes.
And it's easy for the child to start, falling through the cracks.
Thank you so much for raising that. But however, also bearing in mind that the society also is changing towards a single child kind of setup.
Mm.
Where it's another topic on its own for other things. But with respect to this particular, where if anything happens to those particular children, I mean, to those particular parents.
Yes.
The child is left alone in this world. And there is nowhere to go except institutions, from institution to the other. And I hear where you're getting, Babufushane, and I think as a director, the social development that we're talking to today, it's a matter of also looking at those social ills. For me, it's a social ill to be having one kid, because whenever to utlo pilalemang, except you, and it's being selfish. It's been antisocial. It's been anti-life. Well, that's another topic on its own. However, some is based on situations. Parents have an accident. You all left all by yourself. It's a different trauma from another parent killing another parent, and they kill themselves, and you left all by yourself. And the command center has to deal with that. And they're not sure which other processes. You can have all the professionals in the world, but there is no professional to help somebody breathe and to help somebody think on their own. And you can only encourage. Now, let's talk the police. In terms of law enforcement, in terms of defense, in terms of, we have those as individuals. And we have a background of, I'm sorry, to just mention, but Umkhonto weSizwe, we had people who were apartheid police, for instance, and we had us, Babufushane, Osipulane, our age at that time, finding yourself saying, man cool and zawai police, and not knowing that you're trying to be police elzo shayabantu, because that's all you see police doing, running after people, and all that kind of thing, to a point where today we find ourselves having to, the command center most definitely is dealing with a lot of gender-based violence caused by our own protectors, which are police and our military personnel. Now, in terms of that, it seems to be like the command center might feel itself a bit lower than the level of the law to deal with such kind of personalities. It's very interesting to find out, how do you connect with such departments to ensure, Babufushane, that you know, okay, but he police alomchit. Now, he's of a thing of saying, nah, I cannot be dealing with social development. Minans out dealing about base ma police and all that stuff. How do you ensure that this person gets accountable for their human deeds before they become a police person? As a command center, because you do get those calls. It starts first like, I'm better. But you later find out what's his profession.
We do get those cases a lot. You'd find that the victims would call and say, he has been abusing me and for so long, and I can't open a case because my partner is a policeman. There's nothing that can be done. I go to the police station, I open the case, but indaba iphelele moyeni, because this person has got power. Not only police officials, even the people that are in power themselves, your country,
politicians, CEOs,
the chiefs, they can do
things on the industry.
Exactly.
You understand?
So they abuse that power. Like Sir Osipulane has said in the beginning when we talked to BV, it's power. When a person feels they've got power over another person, they can do anything, they've got connections, nothing can be done. Then we come in as the command center to say no one is above the law. And fortunately, we work as a multidisciplinary approach. We work with different stakeholders. SAPS is one of the biggest stakeholders. And when we are having problems of dealing with police officials that are abusers themselves, we don't, we're not inferior. I always, when I talk to the social workers, to say, you must realize the power that is within us. We are not scared of police. As
members do not actually think of it that way. So maybe we should emphasize on that.
We should empower the community members so that no one is above the law. Even if in the local area where you are staying, your husband is a police official that abuses you. He's got power in that police station, but not above the law in South Africa. Because the police ministry goes up to the commissioner itself. So when they call through the command center, then we would link them to the highest of person in the police ministry to say, this case now is coming from the command center, going down from national office to the provincial office to the cluster commander, down to that police station. And now the protection that the police official had in that particular space is no longer powerful, because now it's coming from top to bottom. Remember, the police are there in the police station at the bottom. The command center is there at the national. Then we are able to advocate for that victim to get a justice that they deserve.
All right.
Yes. Thank
0800-142-446. I think somebody called Somujiji from Mpangeni. I think Renee is still around trying to get probably somewhere in the rurals of KZN. That's why it's off. But that's the landscape of our country.
Yes.
There are somewhere where networks don't get in. And that's where I come in to say, you know, we still have a long way to deal with gender-based violence, particularly, where somewhere on the other side, the network doesn't catch. But somebody resides there. And come night, ubaba or no mama, they just do as they like. And only wake up to go be umfundisi around somewhere. Because, you know, sometimes we find it so appalling how influential personalities in our societies are actually perpetrating the very same thing that they speak against. And, we have had the first summit on GBV on the 1st and 2nd of November 2018. And this last one that we had last week was the second one after COVID-19 and had a lot to deal with. We did speak a lot between Osbusi, Dr. Omar, and Tracy last week when we highlighted some of the things. But now, today I just want to highlight and throw a whole lot of other things that we don't look into. They used to fight for the country before, and now they don't have anything else to do. They are not integrated into the system. It starts being manifesting into, if you're able to rob a bank, it's all good. If you're able to hijack a cash in, but now you ain't got anything and you have these skills that you do nothing with. And Uhlele Nomfazi, Umfazi has all of a sudden somebody between you two thinks unelungelo lokudelela, and forgetting that the skills that your partner might be possessing are that of. But now, Bafuchan, I want to say, e-department, how much responsibility does it take to ensure that those people I'm talking about, your pre-apartheid people, you know, those police I'm talking about, those big, hairy white guys that used to beat people up all over the place. I mean, the guys will tell you, anybody who was an activist back then, if you see a white guy coming through this way, you know you're going to get shambled. I mean, June 76 comes from that particular kind of violence. So in this day and age, we still have to deal with those personnels, and they are part of the society, and it manifests themselves in a manner of gender-based violence. And or because now we are a democratic, peaceful country, but the people are not peaceful. So the interventions in terms of the department at that level, is there anything that we could speak to or could suggest to what in terms of addressing this? Because I would like us to address the people behind this who happen to be people who are skilled and were skilled for different things, but now do not have the means to practice their skills.
Look, the department has got, well, there's two. There's us, and then there's the Military Veterans Department.
Yes.
But, so, I mean, from DSD's perspective, one of our main programs is called Sustainable Livelihoods.
Yes.
It's a community development program where we look at community empowerment initiatives, looking at communities broadly through NGOs and through local community projects. Sustainable Livelihoods, its goal is to ensure that people are skilled, let's say organically, with skills that they have. Let's say, for example, as you're saying, Ndatimang might have been skilled previously fighting in the struggle.
Yes.
But given what we are in now, economy-wise, that skill is now no longer in use. So to do Sustainable Livelihoods, then try to reskill him to focus on community projects that he can then use to now reskill himself and re-empower himself going forward. So they'll be moving him away from a skill that he's not able to use to new skills that he can now use to provide for himself going forward. We're starting with from youth development services, looking at those empowerment programs into communities, working with what we call the National Development Agency, which is also focused on giving grants to community projects to ensure that people can then reskill themselves and build a value chain going forward that can help them to get out of the quagmire of poverty and vulnerability. We also have been looking at a project whereby we're looking at how we can ensure that even SASSA grant beneficiaries can be skilled out of the system of SASSA, especially those that are currently in the youth, so child support grant recipients who get to 18. And for whatever reason, don't maybe progress into higher academia. And we can then place them initially, obviously, in the public works program. But the idea being that you're now reskilling them so that they can then build themselves going forward.
Yes.
So we've got those youth programs as well at DSD. But I guess also particularly speaking about, you know, former war veterans, we have a partnership with the War Veterans Department, Military Veterans Department.
Yes.
That's the correct term for
just
it.
Just across where we are right
yes,
now.
Yes, Military Veterans Department. And they are building a broad set of interventions for former military vets, ranging from human settlement solutions to our solutions around sustainable livelihoods, and also those who qualify or may qualify, given their age, maybe they are now past 6 to 65, who may qualify for the older persons grant, that we are looking also at assisting them in that regard. So that we are then able as government broadly to give them a holistic set of services. But the lead department in that regard is particularly military veterans. And we're only playing a role through the Sustainable Livelihoods Program to input into that intervention. But within military veterans, there's a broad set of programs that they are working on. And I'm sure that if you were to invite them, they'll be able to speak much more eloquently than I can speak on their behalf.
All right.
Yeah, but those programs are there. But what I'm trying to say is, so within our Sustainable Livelihoods program, we are now looking to reskill communities broadly so that people can then now start skilling themselves. It's what they say, you know, if you give me a fish, I'll eat for a day. If you teach me how to fish, I can feed myself for life.
Thank you.
So that is the principle that we're trying to go with.
All right. We are discussing 16 days of activism against gender-based violence and femicide, including violence against children. And this is 16 days is a term between the 25th of November, which is going to start in the next 2 weeks. And it will end up with on the 10th of December. Ospulani is going to tell us more about some of the activities, because it's more about internationalism more than South Africa. But as Ospulani has already alluded, we are part of the international society. And bearing in mind that South Africa is touted as one of the highest country that's got the highest violence that is based on violence against children and women and so forth. So in the studio tonight, I'm joined by Ospulane Mthembu, who is the center manager for the Gender-Based Violence Command Center. Working with her as a social work practitioner within that is Osbusisiwe Mkonyana. And we are supported as well by the direction of Ubabu Mthembu Fushane, who is telling us more about at the departmental level some of the things that the command center actually cannot reach in terms of protocol. But however, they can do that. So we did speak about all those interventions where if a police person is involved, what happens? If a soldier is involved, what happens? Because now our society and our constitution allows such personnel to stay home, to be integrated into the societies, and which before, I don't know about Fushane, you know barracks, right? Barracks, and that's where many a times our personnel would start before they qualify into getting into the society. So these days, just as a constable, you go straight into a kaya. And unama debts, unayonki into an ish. Sometimes it's not that easy. But anyway, let's get to listen to Evoice Nate KG. And then we will come to Ospulane telling us more about all those days up until the 10th. KG?
Yebo, mfakazi. Ngizomagesta akho lapho ethi i-corporate punishment nayo siyithatha njenge-abuse, ukuspenka ingane omigama.
Of course.
Ngabe shuthi-ke manje ingane engabe isathintwa emakhaya ngoba sizoba ngathi i-abuse. Sometimes awuyishaya ingane ngoba uyizonda, ingane uyishaya ngoba uyiqondisa. Hayi futhi ingane uyishaya zonke insuku. Sometimes uyayikhuza mase uyabona mhlawumbe uzothola ingane yakho ibhema ugwayi noma ibhema insango. Mhlawumbe udineka kugcine usuyishaya. Hhayi ngoba ishaya ngoba uzama usuke uyixwayisa. Ngabe qonda ukuthi ama-guest ke iy'ngane uma siyithola zenze okuphambene nomthetho wekhaya sizenzenjani, singabe sayithinta nje siyithusa. Ngoba sometimes ukukhuluma nje igcine sithi ingane awu sibani bani ubaba noma engangiboni uzokhuluma athethe ngeza ngishaye. I-most-ke yama-young kids-ke bayayisaba induku. Umthusa ngenduku lapho abona khona ukuthi lento engenza i-wrong. Njengokuthi iy'ngane ube khona ingane intshontshe imali ekhaya, uma uyishayile iyayiyeka utshontshe imali noma utshontshe izinto ekhaya. Kanti uma lokhu ukhuluma naye ngomlomo sometimes ezinye azizwa. Somgiji lo empangeni bengithi nje angifoni alibanjwa ngocingo lami ekuqaleni kade ngifonile laphana ngibambe isikhathi eside angazi wayo ingcingo ingabanjwa lapha esitudi.
Okay, siyaxolisa on that one. That Rinaye, they saying you're not holding, and I can vouch for you. You've been holding those calls. It's just that mhlambe sometimes we get a bit impatient because remember this is a discussion and it starts with my guests in the studio. So sometimes if we get a little bit patience with Urinaye, she'll be able to put you through. She has no jealousy in putting you through. Believe me that. And so it's just that we should be very apologetic to not giving you. But quite a very good point that he's making that I was trying to make Ospulane to say, we have run out of options. And mina, I always call it that because ilungalokudelela, you cannot do anything about it. It's somebody telling you that they will exercise their rights whether you have yours or not. That's when I say ilungalokudelela because ukudelela is about undermining other people. And what happens in this case? Let's just repeat that because what happens in this case, what are some of the recommendations you have in terms of, because of course, maukolet, bazokulanda, bazokufonela, that's their way. And we used to joke with friends to say, there is no jail for iskolet, but yeah.
Yeah, I think if we were to go to what Ubaba was saying now, he said something about if ubathethisa, they will just not
just
listen
look at
to
you and like, ah, ubaba uzokhuluma nje.
I think it goes back to what I was saying in the beginning. Ukuthethisa nokukhuluma kufani. And ubaba uthi uma bashaywa bayastopa. it's not necessarily the truth. Abanye bayaqija ngesiZulu sibabi sisho kanjalo sithi umuntu uyaqija kurubaru watapa kasuthu ngushuthi uyazidela uvela yathi ngamane bangishaye uyabona. And we shouldn't be at that position, but if we were to talk, he made an example ukuthi umntwana mhlamba uyabhema, angifuni ukukhuluma ngesiZulu ngoba ukukhuluma ngesiZulu, umntwana uyabhema, it could just be peer pressure kulo mntwana. Kodwa ubaba akakatholanga ithuba lokuthi ahlale nomntwana ezi ukuthi umntwana lento uyithathe phi, ubuyaphi nayo, kwenzakalani, akhona ukumakha nokumreassure ukuthi mntana, you are as beautiful, you are as good as that. Yes, to say you are as good as you don't smoke. These are the dangers of smoking, but I can tell you up to so far, I trust you so much that you hear me and you'll make the right decision. But abazali abafiki kuleso sikhathi leso, bafika la ukuthi khona base bayathukuthela bese uthi uma ngamshaya kushuthi uzoyeka uzazo wapi uzabhema emva kwama toilet esikolweni noma ngabhemi khona la ekhaya nomntwana. So it's just an example ayenzile. Angiyacabanga ukuthi akusiyiloko nje kuphela akhuluma ngako. Mhlawumbe umntwana uyahamba ubuya late. Uku stage bani lo mntwana? Why ahamba abuya late? Ubonani? Unabobani lapha aya khona? Do you know your friends? Ama friends umntwanako. Khuluma naye akutshele izindaba umntana akaxoxele, uyabona. We're not saying we will spend 100% of time with our kids ngaphakathi kwasekhaya. But it's important ukuthi umntwana akhone kwezinye izinto ukuzishare nawe uma umzali. But if usebenzisa induku nanoma ngabe beseka nobunzima bokuthi nginencindezi, akasakhona ukukutshela because uyazi ukuthi awumlali, angeke umlalele. We must want to be listened to as parents and also listen as parents. A lot of time as parents, we don't want to listen to kids because we're saying abantwana abantwana bazozwa ngathi siyabazali. Yes, iqiniso vele ubaba lento ayisho ukuthi siyasho vele ukuthi ukushaya abantwana ngomthetho la eSouth Africa sekuyicala. It's part of ukuhlukumeza abantwana ngoba abantwana bafani. Abanye abantwana bathi ngokushaywa babaleka ekhaya.
Yes.
Bese bahlala la eTradini. Ngaphuma nje la kule building le khona manje khona la iGCIS. Kunabantwana abagcwele lomgwaqo lo.
Thank you.
Abanye some of them when you interview them bakutshela hla ukuthi nekhaya bengishaywa. Ngabalekela ukushaywa ekhaya. But uma uthi ukhuluma nalo umntwana uhlakaniphile. Uyabona. So we need to listen. Uzame umzali ungelahleli ithawu la masishane akuna dustbin yabantwana la.
Yeah. Now it's 2:07, 3 minutes before our closure, and that's where I'm going to ask you to quickly highlight us with some of those days that we are looking into when we say 16 days of activism, starting with the 25th right up to the 10th. And yes. From there on, quickly, I'm going to just give you 1 minute to do
okay,
that.
Okay, all right. 16 days of activism has within it days that we need to observe.
Mm-hmm.
The 25th of November, International Day of No Violence Against Women.
Mm-hmm.
29 November is International Women Human Rights Defenders Day.
Yep.
The 1st of December
is Human Rights Defenders Day.
Defenders.
Yeah, siya defender kalo.
Yebo. 1st of December, it's World AIDS Day. Though yes. All these days are international.
Mm-hmm.
The 3rd of December is International Day for Persons with Disabilities. We shouldn't forget people
That's
with disabilities
right.
that are the most vulnerable. The 10th of December is International Human Rights Day. And these days are marked by a lot of awareness creation that happens across the provinces. It's not just national departments that are having those activities that are going on. From the presidency that will launch on the 25th to down to the 10th of December when we are wrapping up. But we are also not necessarily talking about 16 days only. Coupled with 16 days of activism is 365 days of activism. I think you remember at the beginning.
That's right.
When I said we have to make it our everyday habit to, you know, protect victims, protect women and children, and members of the LGBTQIA+.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, because there's a lot of hate crimes that come with that because of their gender.
Sure.
So there are activities that are happening there that are targeting men and boys that will be happening in the provinces, locally, that are targeting the LGBTQIA+ people that will be We'll be donating things to some of the shelters that we are having through Department of Public Works, and also at the GPVCC. There are some materials that, and social development sanitary packs that will be then donating to the shelters. We are going to be working with some of the partners that will be your NERT, NICDEM, and all other Bomzansi Act, Scheme GP, Total Shutdown. We'll be with them there in those. We will be partnering with them. And we'll also be visiting some of our facilities in the provinces as part of monitoring. Remember, we are still talking to the national strategic planners. We were talking to the issue of the summit. We still have to account. We still have to amplify. We still need to accelerate the services. Thank you.
Thank you so very much. In 30 seconds, Sibusi, what's your message with regards to the importance of the command center in 2022 in these 16 days of activism?
I feel the command center is very important and relevant since we are living in the 21st century. We are using state-of-the-art technology to make sure that we reach out to clients whilst they are sitting in the comfort of their own homes. Whatever situation that you may be facing, whether it's GPV, whether it's bullying, whether it's rape, whatever you are facing, call 0800-428-428. A social worker is waiting to assist you at any hour of the day, at any day of the week, anytime we are available. It's your assistance. So you can call us. We are there. Thank you.
Thank you so much. What's your message in terms of the department in general, particularly also all these interventions that you are actually coming up with based on the experience of the customer, Babu Fucha?
I think what I want to say is to all South Africans, the department is open and waiting for them. We've got services that range from protection against social ills, such as the gender-based violence, to services that seek to skill and reskill and empower citizens so that they become better prepared for the future that is ahead of us, and a variety of other services. We always say that our client is from the cradle to the grave. It sounds a bit rough. When we say it, it's not intended as such. But what we're trying to say is that from the day that a South African is born until the day that South African returns to the heavens or wherever we go after this, we are there as social development to support them, to look after them, and ensure that they're able to realize the fullness of their lives.
All right. The president of the country also approved the National Strategic Plan on Gender-Based Violence and Femicide in March 2020, and this is to escalate the action against those who perpetrate. And the second summit emphasized on the need for us to actually say, this seems to be manifesting itself like an upgraded phone. You know, you start getting this type of phone, you start getting an upgraded type of phone. The same violence manifest itself like it's an upgrade. And it is up to us as South Africans to downgrade ourselves to a point where we understand that once upon a time there was a situation where violence, somebody decided that violence was a necessity for us to have peace. And we should be taking it from the greatest man himself, Utatu Madiba, where with all the powers that he had, with all the skills that he was trained from Russia to everywhere that you read in the books, he decided to say, let there be peace in South Africa. Thank you so very much for your input tonight, and thank you so very much for all the listeners. Unfortunately, we'll always run out of time, and that's nothing that we can do much about, except look forward to the next program where we will be bringing you more from the Department of Social Development. Thank you to K-Flame Ranoto. Thank you to Rinaine Maungani. Thank you so much to Nomfundo. Thank you to everybody who contributes towards this program that's happening. And from me, Musutu Stone, Rea Lebuha, so very much, and good night.